Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss! Strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 141. If you're listening on drop day, it is October 17th. This is the official podcast of watching all sorts of playoff baseball that your team is definitely not in. Also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit the subscribe button, rate us 5 stars wherever you're getting your podcasts and do it multiple places. We're also on YouTube on the WEEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on those videos if you're watching there. That helps us out a ton. We really appreciate when you guys do that. And as always, on the socials, at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Have tons of awesome content always coming out on those accounts. So definitely a good follow. I'm here with Sammy and I'm here with Pat. And as we record right now, like Dodgers and Mets are on the TV. The Yankees are up 2-0 on the Guardians as we record this. And like, got it. It sucks. It sucks so hard. And there was like a debate happening on Twitter a few weeks ago that we talked about, but we never talked about on the podcast because it kind of coincided with our little break. And I feel like with the Yankees up 2-0, I figured I should probably just go ahead and ask you guys this question. Would you rather, Sammy and Pat, the Yankees win the World Series this year, but lose Juan Soto in free agency, and we'll say to a National League team that's not the Red Sox. So National League team. They win the World Series and they lose Juan Soto. Or would you rather the Yankees win the World Series this year? Do not win the World Series, but they sign Juan Soto to like a 14-year deal. He's going to be there forever.
Pat, you go first.
It's pretty easily the one where the Yankees don't win the World Series. It's pretty comfortably that answer. I didn't think much about the other answer.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I can't even believe that there were people who chose, after all the years of coming up short by the Yankees, who chose to just punt it, be like, nope, give them the World Series because we don't want them to get this one guy. And I know Juan Soto's unbelievable and he fits perfectly with the Yankees, but give me a break. We're saying we'd rather see them win than to extend him. I'm at a loss for words. Please, Gordo, if you pick that choice of them winning, I need to hear the logic because my brain is not computing.
Gordo, before you go, little revisionist history here. The Yankees did trade for, acquire, and extend arguably the best player in baseball in 2004. They won one World Series.
It's true.
Him signing Soto is not the end of the world. It's not. He has won World Series, and he was 19 when he won it.
Pat is referring to.
It's not guaranteed that they're a dynasty.
Yeah, Pat is referring to Alex Rodriguez, also known as Arod, if you were not familiar.
Yeah, Arod is not 5 minutes.
I got to tell you guys.
No,
I think
no. Stop, Gordo. God, come on. Are you really going to do this?
I think it's a little short-sighted to just take the one loss this year. Like this Yankees team this year is so flawed, and they are just moonwalking to the World Series. Now imagine if they extend Soto for 15 years. Like they're going to put together a few complete teams. In that 15-year stretch, if it's this easy for them to get to the World Series with a flawed team, you don't think they're going to cash in on a few?
No.
If the Yankees lose Juan Soto, they don't scare me at all. Like, the Sox are already out of it, man. Like, this doesn't – like, obviously, I'm rooting hard against the Yankees every single time I'm watching them on TV, but it's not like I'm asking this question in June, and it's like, oh, so now I know that the Red Sox aren't going to win the World Series this year. And don't give me the crap that in June we had hope.
Okay. What are the odds that the Yankees ever get an easy playoff path. Like they've played the Royals and the Guardians. It's like a mean joke. Like that's why they're moonwalking to the World Series, not because they're an amazing team. It's because like, and it's not their fault that, I mean, I'm literally wearing a Celtics championship shirt. The same thing happened to the Celtics. The Celtics got unbelievable luck heading to the NBA finals. And they actually played a scary team in the finals and they beat them. But like, it's the same thing with the Yankees. It's not their fault that they're playing all these well below your usual ALCS level team opponents. Like this, it's pretty fluky. I don't think they're going to be like a dynasty or anything. And I'm not concerned about, I mean, they got, if they extend Soto, what's that going to be? A $500 million contract? Maybe more?
I think six.
I do not want to hear you give the argument that signing that contract is going to prevent them from signing other contracts. Because we say that after every contract they gave out. We said that after Judge. We said it after Rodon. We said it after Garrett Cole. We said it after Giancarlo Stanton. We said it after DJ LeMahieu. They don't ever stop. It's not going to stop them from going after the next guy.
Certainly did not say it after DJ LeMahieu myself. But I hear what you're saying. But that would be what? Let's just do the math. Because not every team has a limit. Every team has a limit. That luxury tax, you're not just made of money. Okay, so Judge, what's he have? $400 million?
It was like 360.
360, I think.
And he's now 2 years into it.
Cole is 324, call it 325. So that's, what, 685. Then you have whatever Stanton's making, which is a lot. Then you have Rodon, that's another 160. Then you have, they don't have a closer, so they're going to have to figure that out. And then you tack on Soto. And that's like...
They don't stop, dude. They didn't stop before. It didn't stop them from trading for Soto before the season.
I feel like it would, though. I feel like there's a limit to this stuff. Like, you can only go so far.
You're
like,
saying that Dodgers, as a Red Sox fan. There's a limit to our spending.
Fair. There's certainly a limit for the Red Sox. Pat's got his finger up.
I disagree with Sammy. I think they have a closer in Luke Weaver. I think Luke Weaver is disgusting.
All right. Well, we'll see. He gave up a nuke last night.
So, he's only under contract for one more year. So,
yeah, true.
That's going to have to be figured out regardless. But
either way, there's no, it's baseball. It's not like football with Mahomes, where you're looking at the Chiefs and you're like, all right, they're easily going to win the Super Bowl this year. There's one other good team. It's the Lions. All they have to do is beat them one time and they win the Super Bowl. It's not like that in baseball. Like, the odds of the Yankees getting a cakewalk like this are so low. Like, they miss the Astros, who torture them every single year. They miss the Orioles, who have been, you know, competitive with them. It's like a division rival. They miss the Red Sox, who every time they meet in the playoffs, the Red Sox kick their ass. Like, they've missed all three, four, whatever teams that give them trouble. They avoided all of them. So far, we'll see what happens in the World Series. Dodgers could be the new scary team for the Yankees. Mets, maybe. But either way, it's so hard to win the World Series. I'm not ever in the mindset of like, I'd rather them win this than have a chance to win more in the future. They're always going to have a chance.
The thing is, Sammy, a big part of the argument for me here is the Red Sox are not in it right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think we expect that for the next decade, we're going to see a at least 7-8, hopefully, competitive playoff caliber Red Sox teams. At least with the state of their build, that's what they should put out there. If the Yankees don't have Juan Soto, I don't give a shit if every prospect they have in their system that's worth anything, which isn't many at this point. It's pretty much Jason Dominguez. I guess he's still a prospect. If he's a star. Even if he's a star, they don't scare me. But if you add Soto into that equation, now we know the Orioles are going to be scary for years to come. Now the Yankees are going to have two of the three best hitters in baseball for the next decade plus in Judge and Soto. And God, it's about the Sox winning championships. And if the Yankees lose Soto, they don't scare me anywhere close to enough for me to get out of bed for the Yankees in the division. Like, they're dead for the next 4 or 5 years if that guy walks and they don't get like Vlad Jr. or something to replace him.
Yeah. So I was about to say, if Soto walks, they're just going to come back and get another two monstrous hitters or something like that. They're going to have a counter move. They're not going to lose Soto and be like, well, there it goes. They're going to do something like Guerrero or multiple guys, Guerrero, Bregman, and then like a pitcher or something. They're going to go nuts if Soto leaves. It's either way, they're going to reload. It's the Yankees. They're not like the Red Sox where they're happy to bottom out for a year or two, or or 5 out of 6 years. Like, it's different over there. Yeah, they don't win the amount of championships that Boston wins, but they're competitive every year. So just one guy is not moving the needle for me. I know he's amazing.
That guy moves the needle. Come on, Grant. That guy moves the needle.
Grant, big picture, one guy's never going to do that. There's no one guy that's just going to move the needle like that, unless he becomes like David Ortiz, greatest playoff performer of all time, just Mr. Clutch, incredible. Like, hate to say it, a guy like Derek Jeter, who in the playoffs is just the best player on the field all the time, and he's consistent in that way. But that's so hard. We haven't seen that out of Soto. He's been like good, not amazing in the playoffs with the Yankees, with the Padres. He was good with the Nationals. That was years ago, though. So, no, it's one guy. That's not going to make me not root for the Yankees to win the World Series, but like in this hypothetical, be okay with them winning rather than having them extend Soto. I can't do it.
I have a hard time envisioning them not cashing in at least one time if they sign Soto for over a decade. Like, it, and that's regardless of if they win the World Series this year. Like, if they sign Soto for over a decade and you've got him and Judge locked in, and you know, other guys' contracts are going to expire. Like, Rodon got a big contract and Cole got a big contract, but those guys are going to expire. The two guys that are in Stan's going to expire, like, the two guys that are locked in long term in this hypothetical are the two guys that unequivocally are earning the money. So there's a path to build around those guys that's just scary. And I want to see the Red Sox win a few divisions. And if the Yankees have two hitters that are better than any hitter the Red Sox could ever produce, acquire, whatever, it's going to be hard to do that.
No, I just don't look at it like that. I just think, make the best Red Sox team beat the Yankees when you run into them. It's like, you can't just, it's baseball, man. It's different from other sports, baseball and hockey. That's why I like baseball and hockey so much. They're the two most unpredictable sports by far, I would argue. Basketball, by far the easiest to predict. I could tell you who's going to be in the NBA finals like halfway through the season. It's the easiest sport to predict. Baseball's not like that. So, no, I can't just ever plug a team into, you know, they're going to win a World Series in this span. We don't know. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have this juggernaut team, and all they have to show for it is that 2020 World Series, which, say what you want, it's more like a travel team tournament they won, in my opinion, but they haven't won a World Series outside of that. And they're just like a monstrous team, too. Angels, Trout and Ohtani. There you go. Two needle movers. Nothing. Zip. So, anyway. Long-winded answer. It's just one guy.
If you could guarantee me that the Yankees would put the team around Judge and Soto that the Angels put around Trout and Ohtani, I'm with you right there. There's no World Series for you guys. Who are the best fucking, like, Cole Calhoun? Like, that's the best you got around those guys.
Rendon, dude. Rendon. Oh,
yeah, man.
He hates baseball, but he plays it.
he was good at it at one point in his life.
Who else did they sign to put around him? Didn't like additions where they were like,
they did have Albert Pujols at the start of it. Pujols, like they had all the signings at the beginning, like Josh,
CJ Wilson,
CJ Wilson. He did the press conference with Pujols. So who knows? What if the Yankees become the Angels?
Hamilton, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Hamilton. Yes. Thank you, producer Joe. It was a good call. Anyway, again, to put a bow on it, I could never, ever be like, I'd rather the Yankees win the World Series than XYZ. It would have to be like Red Sox move to, I don't know, Antarctica, and they're no longer in Boston. That's what it would take for me to be like, yeah, I'd rather the Yankees win the World Series.
All right. Well, to put a bow on it, Yankees are up 2-0 in their series right now with Cleveland. What are your guys' predictions? Where and how does their season end?
I think the Yankees beat Cleveland in 5. I think Cleveland's going to win like one game, and then the Yankees are going to lose in the World Series to the Dodgers in 5 games as well. They're just going to get absolutely waxed, and they'll be like, "Crap, we were cruising," until the Dodgers come to town. Shohei's going to hit 6 home runs in the first game. He's going to come up 6 times and hit 6 home runs. Book it.
Wow.
I think the Yankees sweep and then get some absolutely momentum killing time off while the Dodgers and Mets go like 6. They go into the World Series. I think the Dodgers win the World Series, but I think they win in like 6. Maybe 7. I think it's going to be 6.
Okay, I got a question for you guys. What would be more satisfying? Yankees lose to the Dodgers and they have to deal with the like, oh, Ohtani is more popular and better than Judge, or Yankees lose to the Mets in the World Series, which is the Yankees losing to the Mets in the World Series. Which would be more satisfying?
Yankees losing to the Mets, because that is like the Red Sox of the NL, for me at least. Like, I don't hate the Mets by any means. It's just like they also hate the Yankees, so that's pretty damn rewarding. Yeah, I would lean Mets.
I like my issue. I don't have any problem with the Mets. I just don't want to see them in the World Series at the same time as the Yankees. I swear to God, the Subway Series advertisements, I'm telling you, you guys are going to want to kill yourselves with the amount of Subway Series shit that we would see if that matchup evidently happens. And just so you know, my prediction is that it does happen. It's Yankees Mets, and I think the Yankees beat them in like 5 games. And it's like the easiest path to a World Series title ever. And we can't even say anything about it because we just had the Celtics do the same thing.
No, I'll keep saying stuff about it. I'll easily keep saying stuff. All right.
That's not going to stop me.
I have another question for you guys. I've been ruminating on these two. So that was the first one. Second question I have. Can you think of a worse team to appear in a championship series than the 2024 Cleveland Guardians? And I would have said the 2006 Cardinals, because they only won 83 games, but they won the World Series. So I'm disqualifying them.
Does it have to be baseball?
Yes, has to be baseball.
Okay.
We're not crossing the sauces.
Well, what I was gonna say was it's like that graphic of the quarterbacks when the Patriots lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So the final four, it was Brady, Foles, Bortles, and Case Keenum. Like, that's that. Oh, I can't believe the Patriots didn't cash in on that. Oh my God.
Ah, they only won 6 championships. Ah. Damn it. It's so hard. All right, but seriously, I legitimately have been racking my brain all day. I can't think of a worse team to make it to the championship series, AL or NL.
I have one. What about the 2021 Red Sox that were one game away from getting bounced before the postseason?
Mm.
What's the difference?
Nah, but
the Guardians won 92 games.
But look at the roster. I actually had, so the closest I could get, and Joe actually just put it in our chat, was the 2017 Yankees. It was all a bunch of like rookies and they just got hot and then they got squashed by the Astros and they were like, we're the baby bombers, dude. We're the baby bombers. Greg Bird, dude. Gabagool. And
the 20, was it 15 or 14? Whatever Orioles team.
Oh, yeah. They made the ALCS one year.
Yeah. That team was ass.
Oh, right. That one was pretty bad. Their rotation was terrible.
Let me pull up that roster.
It was like, wasn't it like Nelson Cruz hitting 40 bombs as a DH? And like that was their offense?
Yeah, I got it. Him
and Manny Machado.
2014, starting catcher, Caleb Joseph. First base, Chris Davis. Second base, Jonathan Scope, JJ Hardy, Machado. David Lauf was the starting left fielder. Adam Jones, Markakis, and Cruz. Not an ALCS lineup by any stretch. The rotation.
Right.
Chris Tillman, Wei-Yin Chen,
ooh,
Bud Norris, Miguel Gonzalez, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Kevin Gausman.
Bud Norris.
The bad Kevin Gausman.
What if I told you one. That aside from Ubaldo Jimenez, that entire rotation had a sub 3.7 ERA?
What?
Sub? Below it?
Like below?
Below.
Wait, Kevin Gausman did?
Kevin Gausman, 20 starts, 3.57. Miguel Gonzalez, 26 starts, 3.23. Bud Norris, 28 starts, 3.65. Wei-Yin Chen, 31 starts, 3.54. Tillman, 34 starts, 3.34.
Here's the thing about the Guardians. If you look at their rotation and you look at their offense, it's bad. But if you look at, they're here because of their bullpen.
Exactly. Case in point. You cannot be like, we're here because of our bullpen. You're not a championship team if that's your calling card. You can't be.
The thing is,
one team where they've like hung their hat on their bullpen. It just doesn't happen. The Rays, and they've never won.
You can hang your hat on your rotation because as you saw with the 18 Sox, like Cora maneuvered things so that basically the starters were eating every single game, and obviously winning those series as quickly as they did, like they didn't lose multiple games in any of those series. So that allowed you to do it, but it doesn't work the same with the bullpen, asking these guys to go 2 innings and then the next day go 2 innings. And then you get an off day, but then the day after you're doing it again. It's like, there's only so many things that like a guy like Gattis, who buck and a half ERA during the season, but like there's only so much that guys like that can do, bringing guys in the third inning.
Yeah, but that's exactly. That's my point is like, if you're like I was saying some stuff online about how I think the Guardians are, compared to most teams that make it to the ALCS, they're much, much weaker. And someone wrote like, no, look at their bullpen. I'm like, that proves my point. If your first thing you point to is their bullpen, something's probably wrong here, because that's, you don't even use the bullpen until like later in the game. Ideally,
it's important.
It's important.
You need a good bullpen. I would say the calling card.
But I would say the lineup and the rotation are undeniably more important than the bullpen.
I would say the 2015 Royals hung their hats on the bullpen. They were disgusting. Holland, Wade Davis. That team won the World Series, I would say, on the backs of the bullpen.
Didn't the 2015 Royals also have a sick rotation and lineup, though?
Who did they have in the rotation? They had Cueto.
Cueto, Yordano Ventura, Edison Volquez.
Yeah, like it was okay.
It was fine.
The lineup was good. The lineup was good.
Hosmer was still good. Moose was still pretty good.
Alex Gordon was good.
Logan, Zobrist, Alcides Escobar.
Salvador Perez.
Right field was someone. Oh, it was Johnny Gomes.
Hell yeah, brother.
Volquez. Yeah, I mean, this team had a good bullpen, but
Lorenzo
still,
Cain.
I would say, like...
Oh, my favorite of the bunch. Thank you, Joe Braverman, in the chat. Lorenzo Cain. Oh,
yeah, Lo Cain. By the way, put some respect on the 2021 Red Sox. They were certainly better than this friggin' Royals team, Guardians team with, look at this. You have Xander Devers, J.D. Martinez, 31 home run Hunter Renfro, playoff Kike, even Verdugo was good that year, and then the rotation was pretty friggin' nice. Sale, Evaldi, you have Whitlock in the bullpen, by the way. He was great. Schreiber, Ottavino, even Robles was good that year. Yeah, no. Gets up
there. Yeah. You named like...
Oh, Schwarber, excuse me. Forgot about Schwarber. Sorry. Apologies.
How many legitimate star players in the year 2021 were on that team? Devers was a legitimate star.
Xander?
Xander was okay that year. He wasn't that good.
Xander? He had a 129 OPS plus. He hit 295 with an 863 OPS.
Yeah, that's really good, man. Like
23
home
runs.
That's like what Tyler O'Neill had, like an 850-ish OPS this year.
Guys, they had Kike Hernandez. He said a cuss word on TV.
Playoff Kike. They had
that was so stupid. That was so stupid.
Yeah, that was kind of cringy.
That's the issue, is that it's forced. Like,
yeah.
And some live? People can pull it off.
Are we live? Yeah. We're pretty fucking pumped.
No, yeah.
Are we? Yeah, it'd be funny if he just went, "Are we live?" Fuck.
That would have actually been funny.
Yeah.
Are we live?
Nice, Kike. That was very cool.
Are we live? Are we live? Fuck Hell. You, Ken. That's what he. That's.
Yeah. Hey. Sorry, well, anyway, we're jumping all over the place, but
yeah.
Now I went to the 2021 Red Sox. Back to the 2015 Royals. Thing we're forgetting about them. Their defense was unreal.
Yes.
So all their pitchers got a boost the entire time. We in Boston don't know what that's like for the last 700 years, because we've been watching a bunch of dudes who look like they've never fielded a ball in their fucking life. But the Royals back in 2015 won the World Series with great defense. Also, back-to-back World Series appearances. I don't think, come on. This Cleveland team this year is not even close to that, in my humble opinion.
All right. So we posted on Twitter. We asked for some listener DMs. And just to preface it, we're going to be doing this more often. So we're going to be doing one per episode. Listener DM, listener question. Pat's going to own this segment here. So Pat's going to get the pick. And Pat, I believe, has it ready. So Pat, who'd you pick? Who submitted the question? What do you got?
I did. I picked Sean Bergeron's question. Shout out Sean at Bergeron_MLB. Sammy, perfect segue, because his question perfectly correlates to that. As you mentioned, for the past 7-odd years, it's felt like the Red Sox have not fielded a ground ball cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Bergeron asks, and stick with me, because there's a lot of really good stats in here, and that's why I picked it. Among pitchers with 120 innings pitched last year, Max Fried ranked third in ground ball rate, Tanner Houck fifth, Brian Bayo ninth. Those three ranked 43rd, 69th, and 57th, respectively, out of 107 pitchers in strikeout rate. Ground balls are obviously good outcomes for pitchers, but strikeouts are better. Does it concern you guys at all adding Fried would make three out of the five starters heavy ground ball guys, particularly considering the team has struggled with infield defense over the past several seasons? A healthy Trevor Story would help things. I get that, but I have a hard time counting on him to be healthy. Do you think the Red Sox would be better off going after a pitcher who strikes more hitters out at the top of the rotation, knowing that at times you're going to have a hard time helping Max Fried achieve his best possible results?
Yeah, fair question. Fair question. If you look at it like three types of pitchers, guys who induce ground balls, guys who induce fly balls, guys who get a lot of strikeouts, obviously I think everyone would prefer the strikeout pitcher. That's why me personally, Garrett Crochet is still my number one guy that I want. But if your home ballpark is Fenway and you're not striking guys out, the next best thing is to be a ground ball pitcher, because Fenway is totally a hitter's park with the Green Monster and then all the space in right field as well. So, yeah, it's a concern, but it's not enough of a concern for me to be like, oh, they should look elsewhere. Because, like in theory, you'll have Trevor Story. You'll have Marcelo Meyer eventually, whether it's 2025 or 2026. And then second base defense should get cleaned up a little bit with Campbell coming up. Grissom looked a lot better towards the end of the season. Casas, I still believe in as a defender. I know he hasn't been great at the major league level, but he was consistently good in the minors. So, and then Devers at third, I think he's never going to be a great defender, but whatever, you can live with it if it's just one guy on the infield. So, yes, valid concern, but not enough of a concern to where I would not pursue Max Fried aggressively. I still think they should do that.
Pat, read the names of the other Red Sox pitchers and their percentiles or numbers.
Yep.
For ground ball rate.
So Fried was third in ground ball rate. Houck was fifth. Bayo was ninth.
All right. One guy that we didn't hear on there, Cutter Crawford, a guy who, yes, he can get some strikeouts, but he induces a lot of fly balls. And you see what happens. A lot. He led the league in home runs this year. I agree with Sean here. I think I feel the most comfortable with a heavy strikeout guy because the Red Sox infield defense has not been good for years. I certainly would stay away from guys who exclusively get ground balls if you can pick. Like, it's different if you're like bringing a guy up through your system and that's his calling card, like you're going to work to his strengths. But if you're picking a guy to invest a lot of money or prospects in, like, yeah, pick a guy who fits your mold. I years ago, when Marcus Stroman was a free agent, I said the Red Sox shouldn't pursue him because even years ago they had bad infield defense. And Stroman literally blocked me on Twitter for saying that because he's a freaking flake, but
Yankee. He's born to be a Yankee.
Yeah, he's born to be a Yankee. He unblocked me multiple years later. Interesting shit. But with Max Fried, the reason it doesn't concern me that much is A, I don't want a guy who induces flyball contact at Fenway Park. That scares me. And B, it's not like he doesn't strike guys out. He does strike guys out. He's average to above average striking guys out, and he gets outs the way you want guys to get outs. So that doesn't scare me. Would I like a guy like Garrett Crochet, heavy strikeouts, and that's his calling card, and you know what you're going to get there? Yes, because it's more consistent. Like, yeah, come on. But you don't have to get the number one guy on your list. Like, maybe some other team blows Chicago out of the water for Crochet, and you're shit out of luck there. If that happens, like, by God, you could do a hell of a lot worse than Max Fried. I think it's a valid concern, but I think it's a lot easier to envision a world where the Red Sox have three above average infield defenders and then Devers in the infield. I think that's not the craziest thing to ask. Even in a world where Story gets hurt, I think you could still see an above average shortstop now, because now, instead of moving Sidon Rafaela from the outfield into shortstop, where he did not grade out well defensively this year, you'd probably just call up Marcelo Meyer, who I think most people think is going to be an above average defensive shortstop.
Mm-hmm. Also, one thing I've noticed lately, like trend-wise with Red Sox fans, and I'm not talking about Sean, who left us that great question, and I feel like this is the fallout from Heim Bloom's tenure, too much focus on finding like the perfect, flawless fit, rather than this guy will help the team. It's not perfect, but it makes the team better. Let's go for it. Like, there, few times are you going to find a perfect fit. That's why I love Garrett Crochet, because I think he's legitimately a perfect fit. But Max Fried, maybe not perfect fit, still an awesome addition. So, again, it is a valid concern, but I don't think it should, you know, keep the Red Sox from going hard after Max Fried. I would be I don't know how you guys would feel. I would be thrilled if they signed that dude. That's an ace. That's a legit ace. And if it's not an ace, then it's the one of the best number two starters you're ever going to see. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think the 1A should be Crochet, one of the Mariners guys. 1B, like a close second 1B, is Fried. Yes, the infield defense is not great. He's a heavy ground ball guy, and he's going to be more of a ground ball guy as he ages. That's normal, expected. I get that. That being said, he's not strictly a ground ball guy. He does strike guys out. He does pitch to soft contact. So I get the concern, and it is if they rolled out the same infield defense they had this year, minus Story, then yeah, I would really have second thoughts. The defense in 25 should get better. You will have a healthy Story. Devers will be Devers. Casas will be healthy. Ideally, you have Campbell or even a little bit better, Von Grissom at second. You should get better. A year after that, you definitely have Campbell up. You have Meyer up. Story, who knows where he goes. Maybe he goes to third, Rafi DHs. It's the infield defense is going to solve itself out.
Yep.
To the point where maybe year one won't be tremendous, but after that, it's not really much of a concern.
I think in conclusion here, it's not that the Red Sox should not be avoiding ground ball pitchers. They should be putting a team out there that can sustain ground ball pitchers, because you play in a ballpark where having fly ball pitchers leads to a lot of damage, especially if you're facing a team that's heavy on right-handed hitters or even on left-handed hitters, because they go the other way. But especially guys that with a team with righties that can pull the ball, you don't want guys fly ball pitchers there, because you've seen the amount of cheapo home runs that just bloop on over the wall, or even just flyouts that become doubles.
Remember when the Red Sox were talking about the idea of Andrew Heaney? And I'm pretty sure the three of us were all like, no, 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 please don't get him, because he is one.
When
he's left-handed.
When was it? When was it? Because I may not have been fully against that one. Depends. I think it was
last offseason or two off seasons ago. I'm not sure. Like, okay, right when we started. But that's a guy who has a 7% ground ball rate. And he's left-handed too. So at Fenway, left-handed, low ground ball rate. That is so scary to me. So Max, maybe some ground balls get through that shouldn't, namely ones that are hit to third with Max Fried, but it's better than them getting hit to New Hampshire.
Sammy, another thing based off of what you just said, you said lefties who induce ground ball, lefties or fly ball lefties, like bad idea. The Red Sox don't have any lefties in the rotation. And when Bradfo and I were talking to Lucas Giolito and Rob brought up the whole Max Fried thing, the first thing that Giolito said was, you look at the depth chart and there's no LHP, no left-handed pitchers in that starting rotation. Clearly something that he thinks is important. I think it's important. I think the Red Sox hopefully think it's important. And the two guys that we just brought up here, I think probably our collective favorite free agent target in Max Fried and our collective favorite trade target in Garrett Crochet, both LHP.
Well, there's also, if they could talk James Paxton out of retirement, they could get him for pretty cheap. What do you think about that? Martin Perez, lefty.
Corey, you think? They could.
It's Martin. I'm sick because it's Martin, Sammy. Come on.
Martin.
I mean,
Martin.
No, you're disrespectful.
If they really want a ground ball guy, they could hypothetically sign Kyle Gibson and all show him how to throw with his left hand.
Joe, mute this man. I don't want to actually. Who? Oh, it was that MLB executive burner was like suggesting the Orioles go re-sign Kyle Gibson again. I was like, yes, please, please do it. Because he's not bad. But I mean, if the Orioles go another offseason without. And Grant, they traded for Burns last year, so I guess I can't really pull that card. But if they don't replace Burns with another ace, oh God, what?
That'd be so Orioles though. That'd be so Orioles for them to be like, well, we lost Burns, but we expect Grayson Rodriguez to step into that role this year, and everyone would be like, okay, maybe. But then who fills Grayson Rodriguez's role? You still need more guys.
You want to know who fills in Grayson Rodriguez's role?
Oh, God, tell me.
Trevor Rogers. He's going to be a comeback player of the year next year.
Yeah, heard it here first. I don't know why you like that dude.
I love Trevor Rogers. That's my dude.
Kyle Gibson, you make fun of him
He's never been bad
for pretty good reason this year. He gets good extension. No, he was very mid. Very mid. 4.24 ERA. Not striking many guys out.
But innings. 100,
almost 170 innings. 169.2.
Read his last few years of innings. I bet he's gotten a 200 before, hasn't he? Come on.
Yeah, he got 192 in 2023, so we can call that 200.
Yeah, that counts. That's 200. Everyone
call it 200 for old Gibby. That's like all Gibby.
That's like when the Red Sox talk to Juan Soto. They'll offer him like 125, but really it's 500 if you think about it.
Sure. Yeah, watch the Red Sox be like, we got Sonny Gray.
Oh,
it would be that bad. It'd just be like kind of like, oh, okay. I guess that's good. But he 203 strikeouts, so he's still good.
Hey, man, yeah. He's definitely proven he can pitch in the AL East before too.
Craig Breslow, if you're listening, Craig Breslow, don't do that. Don't do Sonny Gray. You could do better than that. He's probably listening, being like, damn it, I was gonna go for Sonny Gray, but now I'm not.
God.
This podcast gives me all my ideas.
Anyone have any quick final thoughts before we get on out of here? We got to wrap this thing up.
Let's just pray to the baseball gods that the Yankees have a epic choke in some way, and we can continue to mock them for their dry streak.
Yeah, you just made me think of a final question. If the Yankees blew a 3-0 series lead in the ALCS again, would that make you happy that they blew a 3-0 series lead, or sad that someone else did it?
Happy, sure. Yeah, I'm not sharing the wealth,
it's
man.
Not close. It's not
still
even close.
The first. It's never going to top the. You need the scenario with the Red Sox. It's the rival. They haven't won in 86 years.
0-3.
They always 0-3. Yeah, right in the shadow of 0-3. They got their ass kicked in Game 3. Was it 18-9? Which I think was 20 years ago today as we record. So yeah, I let them do it. Cleveland, if you want to do that, go for it. You have our blessing.
Yeah, Cleveland, if you want to drop the third game and win four in a row, yeah, I'm very much for it. Go let Juan Soto think about that all winter when he thinks about whether he wants to re-sign with the Yankees.
It would be funny if they made it to the World Series and then got swept, because then all the, like, you had an easy path, it would all be kind of like validated.
Yeah, like if the Celtics got blasted by the Mavs in the finals, like, yeah, easy path all you want. But yeah, they beat the Mavs, and now you can look at all the stats that say, holy crap, this was one of the most dominant teams in NBA history. We'll see about the Yankees, man. Goddamn. Wait, I'm looking at my TV right now, and this game's at Citi Field, and there is a Shohei Ohtani ad right behind home plate. That's interesting. Ooh, it's probably on a green screen.
Yeah, it's virtual. It's virtual, yeah. It's only TV.
Whatever. I'm going to pretend that the Mets did that on purpose. Well, anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in for episode 141 of Play Tessie. Before we let you go, before you go do something else with your day, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate it 5 stars. Click that 5-star button. It helps us out so much. I know it can be hard to find sometimes, but like, it helps us out so much when you guys rate 5 stars and leave comments. So if you do us a favor and just take care of that, man. Also on YouTube, hit the thumbs up button there. Subscribe to WEEI. We're on the Play Tessie playlist there. Do all that cool stuff. And follow us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. We will be back in your ears. I believe it's going to be Monday. We'll record on Sunday night for a Monday drop. So till then, a few days. Enjoy your weekend. This has been episode 141 of PlayTessie. For Sammy, for Pat, for producer Joe, this is Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.